Yeah, it's Mr. Encore. Fantasy sports and politics crew. Yeah, check. Fantasy sports and politics. Ain't no other talk show hot as this. Cover every sport and we get it all right. Log on the site, you can listen tonight. Talk about the game, who in first place. You can even call up, state your own case. Football, b-ball, soccer too. Log on, ain't nobody stopping you. It's Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah, come on. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah, log on. Peace.
Well. It's that time again, people. 8 o'clock East Coast time, and this is the FFP Cruise Show. I am your host, JT, a.k.a. The Master. Alongside, I'm joined by Jeff the Joker. And as always, we engage in conversation and give you information about the crazy, wacky, dramatic, and drama-filled world of fantasy sports and politics. We have a great show in store for you tonight, as always. The number to call in is 347-637-3220. 347-637-3220 is the place to be if you want to talk to Jeff and me. Anyway, and we also have a chat room for your convenience. If you'd like to lay your knowledge in that chat room, make a statement, a comment, question, it's there for you for your convenience, and if you don't want to talk to us on the phone, which is fine, or just listen in. One special announcement. Now, it came to my attention, it came to Jeff and I's attention, that from our esteemed main guy, which is Victor Gardner, Mr. FFP himself, that next week will be a special week, because it'll be our 700th episode. And we've been on the air doing this, what we do, for 4 years. It's unbelievable that it's been 4 years, and next week will be our 700th episode. Before I get to Jeff and his comments about that, we're going to be having some sound bites. We're putting some sound bites and some clips together from our past shows. And once we hear the clips, we're going to comment and reflect on whatever the soundbite is. Jeff, your thoughts. 4 years, 700 episodes. Talk to me.
Well, you know, I'm just happy to be, you know, part of the team and part of the family. It's pretty cool. So, with the growing family, I'm not sure, but... I think we're going to have some kind of celebration for 1,000. It can't be that far away.
You're absolutely right, Jeff. I mean, 700 is when Victor told me that, or told us, I should say, earlier today. I think it was today, or yesterday, whatever it was. I think it was early in the morning today, whatever it was. When he informed us, I was like shocked. I didn't realize that we had been on for 4 years. We've been doing this for 4 years, and it's led up to 700 episodes, which is wow. Now you know what? Now I see how these guys that have 10, 15, 20 years or more on the air, how quick time flies, and especially when you enjoy the company that you're spending the time with for an hour or so, and you have good conversation. And we get along with each other so well. All right, without that being said, talking about getting along with each other so well, there's a few individuals that look like they can't play well with others. The first one, we're going to go to the Windy City. I think Jeff knows where I'm headed with this. We're going to go to one cornerback that, in my opinion, does not get it and is the epitome, in my opinion, of me, and one of the all-time jerks unfortunately, have not. Let me see this. Let me put it this way. We're not going to go to the Windy City. We're going to go to this nation's capital. Let me put it that way. And this guy seems to be an all-time jerk. Unfortunately, we don't have anybody on here that's a Washington Redskins fan to get their comments. But Brandon Mayweather, Merriweather, has been known for quite a while for tackling or leading with his head. He's gotten fined before. He just recently got a two-game suspension, which was downgraded to a one, but he still had a fine. And the comment he made is pretty outrageous. He said that he should be, first of all, he said, if I can't do what I'm supposed to do, I guess I got to change, and I'm just going to have to end people's careers, take somebody's knees out, take out somebody's ACLs, because I'm not going to go high anymore. I'm going to go low so I can break some links. I mean, what kind of jerk says something like that? And he also said, because he one of the hits that caused his suspension was on Brandon Marshall. And Brandon Marshall came out and said that he should be suspended or kicked out of the league. Feels like I need to be kicked out of the league. And that's what Brandon Mayweather says. I feel the people who beat their girlfriends should be kicked out of the league too. You tell me who you rather have, someone who plays aggressive on the field or someone who beat up their girlfriend. Now, you know, people who live in glass houses shouldn't throw stones. Brandon Marshall has a short memory. I really wouldn't got into a verbal spar with Brandon Mayweather with the baggage Brandon Marshall has. So that was a mistake, in my opinion, on Brandon Marshall, but that deflects away from what the really point that Brandon said he was going to do. He's going to take some people's knees out. Well, DeMaurice Smith and the NFLPA had a talk with Brandon Mayweather because of his stupid, and excuse my remarks, ass comments about hitting players' knees and going after the ACLs. Now, DeMaurice Smith says Brandon Mayweather is sorry for his comments he made. He said he spoke with Mayweather after the play made his inflammatory comments. He said he's passionate about the game, and I know he's sorry for what he said. He is concentrating on helping his team win the rest of the season. Brandon knows all players have responsibility to each other and to play within the rules. Now, I have Mr. Our other co-host on here. Let me bring him in right now. Hello, Mr. Mike. How are you, Mr. Black? How you doing?
What's going on, sir?
Hey, Black.
Hey,
what's going on, Joker?
We opened up the program. Besides talking about, and I think you got the email from Victor about celebrating our 700th episode. We opened up the program about Mr. And he's down in your area, Mr. Brandon Merriweather from the Washington Redskins, saying he's going to take out people's knees and tear people's ACLs. If I can't hit them high anymore, that's what I'm going to do. And DeMaurice Smith had a talk with him and said that Brandon is very remorse and sorry for his comments, and that he's basically a good guy. What are your thoughts? Once you heard, and he was in front of a camera, because I heard him say it, in front of a camera for all to see, that he was going to tear some people's knees up along with their ACLs. Your thoughts on it first, Jeff, and then Black. Jeff?
Oh, I'm sorry. You know, I mean, the thing is, it can be frustrating for a defensive back because of the way they're calling the flags and finding guys. But, you know, you think at this point in his career, he should know that he's got a microphone in front of him and not to say stuff like that. It's pretty simple. I mean, the only thing I can relate it to is, you know, in the workplace, you can't speak your mind. You got to be very politically correct, and you can only say what's on your mind in private. That's just the way it is. It's the world we live in.
Talk to me, Black.
I don't know where his publicist, where his media handlers were, but to have a fine like that and then just get in front of the camera and say something foolish like that is just idiotic. I had a discussion with a Redskin fan the other day about it. I just had to turn around and just walk away. He tried to tell me, oh, where else can you hit him? You can't hit him how I tried to make the same argument for Brandon Murray. Well, I see 31 other teams make tackles every Sunday. You don't have to take guys' ACLs out, knees, and things of that nature. So it's just idiotic on this guy's part. Very foolish.
You know, you get in front of a camera like that, and you know that what he said, it's going to get plastered all over whatever news media, especially sports, ESPN, Fox Sports Live, CBS, NFL Network, all over. I mean, and in the sports networks, and even probably the regular major networks in whatever city. And the point I'm making is this. Players look at this and saying, what? And you know what? I said, and the thing about it is this, that you know, if he's going to go after my knees, I'm going to take him out first. And, you know, that's what I'm thinking. This guy is a total jerk if he's going to ruin my livelihood by taking my knees out if I come close to him. I'm taking him out first. This is, you know, in my opinion, it's extremely selfish. It's me, and no one else counts. I don't care if you have a family and kids to feed. I'm taking your knees out because I got fined, so I'm going to take it out on you. And you know what? Let me put it this way. I'm surprised he didn't get a fine or whatever from the league for making comments like that. I mean, you know, that's sounding awfully malicious. That what he's going to do when he gets on the field the next time, and it's going to be this week. He served his one game suspension already, so it's going to be this week. So we're going to have to see if he's going to go high, which he said he's not, or if he's going to go low and take people's knees out. I mean, he just put a huge bullseye, even though he had one on him, in my opinion, already. He just put a bigger bullseye on him because everyone's going to be looking at every tackle or every contact he makes with a DB or a tight end or running back or whoever has the ball and he needs a tackle. They're going to be extra eyes on him to see where he goes when he has to tackle. So, you know, I understand football players for the most part aren't the brightest bulb in the lot, but you know you got to use some common sense and you got to be a little bit more smarter, especially if you've been in the league. I can maybe excuse it if he was a rookie, but if you've been in the league for a while and you make a stupid comment like that, you got to be a big, huge, in my opinion, a real jerk. And we'll wait and see what happens when he plays the San Diego Chargers this weekend and where he decides to tackle that. Let's move on to another. This is another one that has to do with the Washington Redskins. I'm pretty sure you guys heard about this one. Former Redskin, Albert Haynesworth. Albert, went on a Tennessee radio station and said that the Redskins would not win under Mike Shanahan. He said, great coach? Yeah, I mean, that's what he came in The first meeting, he came in saying, I'm a great coach. Now, listen to what I'm saying here. Albert Haynesworth said that Mike Shanahan came in the first meeting and came in saying, I'm a great coach. I know how to win. I've won. Now, get this, 25 championships. I'm like, 25 championships? Then I go back and look, and I was like, you haven't won a freaking playoff game since John Elway retired. How come Elway comes back after Shanahan gets fired? Kind of weird. I mean, the guy's all me. Sorry to say that. And Shanahan heard this, I guess, and he said he had enough. He said, let me put it this way. This is a quote from Mike Shanahan. And I want to say it the right way. The only people I really haven't gotten along with as a head coach or assistant coach is someone that's lazy. And number two, when someone is lazy, they may lack character, or they're lazy and they lack a passion for the game. Those are really the only people I haven't gotten along with. When I take a look through my years at people who have been lazy or lack passion for the job, they don't get into the next year. And when they do, they don't last the next year. His quote is this: you usually take the high road as much as you can, and I usually do. But he's been talking quite a bit over the last couple of years, so I thought I'd be honest and tell you how I feel. Wow. You know what? I'm going to go to Blackford because I'm a loss for words. I mean, these two guys really sound like they don't like each other and are not afraid to voice it. Black and then Jeff.
I'm not surprised at all by what Haynesworth said. I tend to agree with you. They're not going to win under Shanahan with what they're doing. I mean, week after week now, you have a strong running game and you just go away from it. I don't know if it's more on Kyle or if it's more on Mike, but that game plan that they're using is just not working, man. And you want to put in Cousins if you want to. There's nothing wrong with RG. Let him take off the brace. Let him do what he needs to do. Let him feel comfortable. He's not comfortable with that brace, so you continue to see turnover after turnover. But I agree with Haynesworth.
Okay. You know, players aren't the only ones with egos. Coaches have big egos, too. I mean, Shanahan does have two rings, but that was a long time ago. And the problem is when you bring in a coach who's got a Super Bowl ring, I don't think any coach has ever been head coach to two Super Bowl winners. But Haynesworth, but we used to call him Haynesworthless or Fat Albert. I mean, that guy is the example of a guy, as soon as he gets paid, just thinks he hits the pick six and forgets that he's a ball player and he's still got to play and stay in shape and whatever. So I'm not a big fan of either guy.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, this clearly was not a marriage made in heaven, more or less a marriage made in hell, and both these guys took each other through hell, and still, to this day, there's a lot of drama going on between these guys.
I mean, this was a guy who fell asleep on the trainer tape. Fell asleep immediately, like a one friend day.
Yep. Well, there's another one. These are the days of our lives week for the NFL. I got two more for you. Let's go down to the warm weather of Florida. The warm weather of Florida, where a prank in the lunchroom caused the lineman to go AWOL from the team. Jonathan Martin, who is in his second season and has started all seven games for Miami this season, was listed as doubtful on the Dolphins injury report with an illness. According to the report, Martin left the team after his teammates played a joke on him in the team cafeteria on Monday. His teammates walked away from him when he sat down, apparently joking about him being sick, and Martin flipped out. He smashed a fruit tray on the floor of the team's lunchroom and left. And he hasn't returned to the team. It seems like Martin is dealing with a lot. The incident is something that Dolphins obviously didn't expect to be dealing with in the middle of the season. But the bigger concern has to be with Martin's well-being. Excuse me. And I think he checked himself into a some type of facility. I don't know exactly what it is, but I think he checked himself into a some type of facility because of apparently his emotional breakdown. I don't know. I mean, this is a grown-ass man. He's got to be, if he's seven games, and he's, let's see, in his second season, so he figures like he's like 24, 25 years old, somewhere around there. Jeff, you first and then Black, what are your thoughts on this guy and what the hell is going on?
Yeah, I'm curious about the details of this because at first I heard it was a locker room prank. I didn't hear it was a lunchroom prank. And, you know, it's just what these guys do. You know, in these guy environments, people pull pranks. And as long as they don't put a cadaver in his locker, I think this guy needs to grow a pair, to put it nicely. I mean, because the thing is, I mean, I don't know his situation. He might have mouths to feed. You know, I mean, he's getting paid good money, real good money. I mean, second-round pick last year. And also, I mean, the team effing needs him. That line is suffering. So
yeah.
I don't know how you respect a dude like that after the fact. I mean, if they crossed the line, and I guess there is a line with pranks, it could have been worked out. You know, talk to a coach. I mean, they have team psychiatrists, whatever. I mean, it could have been worked out. You don't just walk away from the team. You know, I mean, I don't get it. I don't get it. And it's just very, very strange. I'd love to know what exactly set this guy off. I mean, maybe this guy isn't cut out to play pro football, but that's the case. He's not cut out to do a lot of other things either, you know? It's like, what does he think? You go to a job and everybody's running around all day singing and dancing and holding hands and stuff like that. It ain't like that. I mean, grow up, baby. I mean, I don't get this guy.
Well, this is supposedly this is what happened. And maybe I don't have the full story, but I have from what I read on the internet. Supposedly that they a group of guys, I don't know how big the group was, said they refused to sit with him because of whatever reason.
They used to do that all the time.
Yeah, I know that.
That's a nothing prank. It would be like there'd be like six of us sitting at a lunch table, the one guy would go to sit, and then everybody would just get up and run. Ha ha!
Right.
Joke's over. Nobody's got to go into the rubber room over that, you know?
Right. Black, talk to me.
I don't know this guy. I mean, dude, when you're giving up that many sacks as the Miami Dolphins had, maybe he wasn't in the mood to play. I'm not sure. Maybe he takes his work personal. Maybe he takes his work serious. I don't know the full situation. I don't even know what the prank was, so I can't really comment too much. But I don't know, man. Seems like a sensitive guy.
Yeah, well, you know, like Jeff said, the Miami Dolphins are playing tonight, and they really could use them tonight against that Cincinnati defense. I guess, why just a guess, his health, especially his mental health, if his mind right, he can't he won't be able to fully get into playing football. So apparently there's got to be a few things going on that set this guy off to do what he did. Anyway, I'm not finished. I got one more guy, at least one more guy, that was a long-lost soul from the Bay Area. And now Alden Smith is back with the San Francisco 49ers. He was activated off the non-football injury list Thursday. As you guys know, he went into an alcohol treatment center September 23rd, 3 days after his second arrest on suspicion of drunk driving since the NFL in 2001. He was released from the treatment center this week. He met with the coach on Wednesday. Harbaugh said, "I met with him face-to-face." Alden was in the building. It was great to see the reaction of others who saw him and all the reaction of being back here with some other guys. Let me back up for a minute. He did turn himself in for some gun charges that he had and other charges that he had in the early part of the summer. And I guess once he was put out back out on bail or whatever, now he gets an opportunity to play. The general manager, Terry Bakke, said last week he's hopeful Smith will play this season, but the team wants to see progress from his young linebacker. Sources said Thursday the team believes Smith is ready to get back to the daily life of being an NFL player and that it's best for him to be with the team. He's expected to play in the 49ers' next game, which is November 10th, not this game. They'll have a roster exemption for a week for Smith on Saturday in London. Commissioner and Roger Goodell, Black's favorite guy, said that the fact that Smith sought treatment and missed five games on his own will be factored in when the league determines if he will be suspended. The league could opt to fine Smith and take away a game check or two. Now, out of good faith, the 49ers paid Smith while he was gone. His game check was about $99,000 a week. As you guys know, and it's less than a month, he was charged with three felony counts of illegal possession of an assault weapon stemming from a party at his home in June 2012. I shouldn't say early last summer. He's supposed to be in court November 12th and November 19th to face DUI and weapon charges. With that being said, your thoughts, Jeff, and then Black. This guy's back with the team in, I would say, a little more than 5 weeks. Your thoughts, Jeff?
Yeah, that sounds pretty quick for rehab. I'm curious what kind of aftercare they have because a lot of times after a case, you know, somebody gets out of rehab, they need some kind of aftercare. The good thing is, I mean, he makes a lot of money, so he could afford, you know, whatever may be. But usually, you know, 28 or 35 days doesn't quite do it, you know. I don't know. I just know a little bit about that thing from just doing social work for a lot of years, you know.
Okay, Black.
Yeah, I think Adair is going to wait to see if he gets convicted or not. That's a touchy subject there, but I'm glad he took the time off to try to get himself together, and hopefully everything's right with him. His case sounds eerily similar to the linebacker, Rolando McClain, who just walked away from the game. It was a good article in the ESPN magazine about that, too.
Yes, I'm gonna get to that. But I want to get to go to a few more, and I'm glad you brought that up, Black, because I'm going to get to that. But I want to go to the West. I want to go out west, and to the southwest, to be exact, to the deep in the heart of Texas, to another player that had a meltdown, it looked like, on the sidelines. For all of America or all who watches NFL to see, when number 88, with a long line of 88s from Drew Pearson to Michael Irvin and now to Mr. Dez Bryant, where the last two had issues of some type, 88, Michael Irvin had issues, and now this 88 had issues early. And for all Americans to see, it looked like he was doing a T.O. on the sidelines, unless you heard what he was actually saying. And a lot of it was positive, but in my opinion, he needed to temper it because the fact is, he was on the sidelines, but cameras were on him, and it could be, in my opinion, a disruption of the team, even though all his teammates, including his coaches, said it's all good with Dez. I'm going to go to Jeff first, and I'm going to give Black the last word on what your thoughts when you saw the night you saw it and the following days after you were able to see what the words he was saying, what you thought of Mr. Dez Bryant and his antics on the sidelines. Jeff and then Black.
You know, I mean, this thing's been talked about all week, and, you know, I've heard all the analysts give their two cents. I probably think the most best analysis was from John Gruden, who said something like, it's okay to blow a fuse, don't blow 10, you know? And that's the thing. I mean, Dez, he wouldn't mellow out. I think part of it was, and to me, I'm one of these people who doesn't think it's that big of a deal. I mean, he's got to cool out a little, but, hey, good players want the ball. And it's not just because they want it. It's because they know if they get it, they're going to win. I mean, he's not a scrub, obviously. He's one of the best receivers in the game.
Right.
I think he probably had himself in a frenzy when that game started because he was playing two games. He was playing one game, the Cowboys against Detroit, and the other game was him against Calvin Johnson. I think that was one of his hang-ups. Calvin Johnson is racking up, what, over 300 yards it was? So he's all like, oh, my God, you know, I got to get 300 yards too. I'm serious. I think he really had himself worked into a frenzy. But the thing is, you know, if he would have just went off once, it would have been nothing. But he just would not chill. And but, you know, it's better off to have guys who are passionate than you got a bunch of guys who are okay with losing. They're okay with getting beat. They don't care. It's a lot easier to cool a guy out than fire him up. So, you know, this is kind of getting to be old news.
Talk to me, Black. This is your man. This is your guy.
Yeah, this is my guy, and I still back him. I appreciate his fire. I appreciate the passion he brings to the game. He's a hell of a receiver, first off, man.
Mm-hmm.
Him to only get 6 targets in that game was ridiculous. But I back him 100%. I saw Stephen A. and Bayless go at it today about this, and they brought up the same points a lot of people brought up. But you see a guy like Tom Brady go off on the sidelines, or his receiver, his coordinator, and you call it a fierce competitor. And Dez Bryant called it just selfishness. So that whole double standard thing. I'm backing Dez here. Dez is frustrated. This has been like our third or fourth game. We headed into the fourth quarter with the lead, and we blew the game. That will frustrate you to begin with. And then to be in this competitive game, and you only get the ball 6 times, I completely understand why he blew up. He had positive things to say. They talked it over with the offensive coordinator. The rest of the words that were said during the uppercuts were not made available. But I'm sure maybe with some expletives said, who knows. But I appreciate his passion. I appreciate what he brings to the game. I'm not going to pile on at this point. I love Dez Bryant.
Okay. I understand what you're saying, Black. You've seen other guys on the sidelines, and really, beginning early part of this year, Tom Brady with his frustration with his receivers, even yelling on the field. Besides doing it on the sidelines, he was doing it on the field because the cameras.
It's never a story though. It's never a story with Tom Brady.
I think Brady got some heat because he cursed out Bill O'Brien. Remember that a couple years ago? It was funny, actually. And
right.
They blurred out Brady's mouth. I think, like, O'Brien said something to him that was real obvious, and Brady said, no sugar. Because he was struggling with some guy. I think it was Tequan Underwood, who was more famous for his haircut than his playing ability. That was a big meltdown. But, you know, like, you see, Philip Rivers is a guy.
And back then, not to cut you off, Joseph, but back then, that probably was talked about for a day.
Yeah, I mean, it does seem sometimes there's a double standard. But also there's the perception that the wide receivers are the divas. But, like, I'll tell you, a guy who I like but a lot of other people don't like, Philip Rivers, because he screams a lot, but I think a lot of his screaming, it's just like, hey, let's go, hey, let's score, whatever, as opposed to Jay Cutler, who frequently screams at his linemen, and it's not positive stuff. You know what I mean? I mean, with Rivers, you could tell his mannerisms, the way he carries himself, it's just high energy, as opposed to a lot of people have questioned the sideline demeanor of Jay Cutler.
That's true. I mean, you can name a long line of guys that have blown up on the sidelines, and probably not as talked as much as this one's been talked about. I mean, I want to move on here because I want to talk about one of the guys that Black brought up, and it seems like this is a very interesting story. And I'm looking forward to reading this in ESPN, the magazine. I'm talking about Rolando McClain, who was a player for the world champion Ravens, and decided to walk away from it at 24 years old, with a huge contract that he walked away from. Black, you probably read the magazine. I haven't read the magazine, and I haven't read the full story. I know he's back in Tuscaloosa, going to the University of Alabama, to complete his degree. Talk to me. Give me some info about Rolando McClain and what prompted him to walk away from the game that I guess made him millions. Talk to me.
Well, he still has those millions. Don't be fooled now. He got together with a financial planner, and that signing bonus that he got, which was about 20 or 25 million, that been put to good use. Rolando McClain, to me, it seems like another classic case of guys making it from the hood, making it out of the area, but yet they have to bring everybody with them. Classic case, Allen Iverson. I mean, you're buying cars for your guys. Guys are telling you to buy cars that you wouldn't even buy normally, but you just buy it because your friend wants you to buy it, so you just buy it. I mean, it's too much obligations on these guys. I know a lot of these guys can just say no. I wish they would just say no. Just because you've made it doesn't mean you have to take care of a whole community and another community and just too many things. And I think all of those problems is piled up along with his attitude, because he did have a blow up with Nick Saban on the sideline, and there's a story about that in the magazine. But I'm glad he took the time to walk away. That also in the article seemed to say that he's just chewing tobacco and going fishing every day, which I guess isn't too bad if you live in Alabama, but. The guy, I'm glad he's getting his head back on the shoulders. I'm glad he's back in school. Hopefully this story works out. And he's looking at trying to make a comeback, if not next year, the season after that, and coming back to the NFL. So I just want him to get his affairs in order. It was good that he walked away from the game before something detrimental happened to him.
Oh, what about you, Black? I mean, Jeff?
You know, Black's right on the money, but you know, maybe he could make a comeback. I mean, he's a young guy. He's got talent. But the thing is, it's tough to be away from the game a long time. But, he's good enough where he would get interest. But guys have come back after a long layoff. There's a guy up in Green Bay, Johnny Jolly, who he actually, I think, went to prison for codeine. And, I'm glad to see him. He's got it together, and he's back with the Packers. And I think he's playing pretty well. And, yeah, I felt bad for the guy because it's no joke. I mean, people, are doing rap songs about it, but that codeine is no joke. And he found out about that the hard way.
Okay. Well, I'm reading a couple of things, like the episode with Saban, from what I understand, is he's pretty close to now, he had a lot of, I would say, growing up to do and maturing to do, and a lot of things that you get to the big show that you think you want to get to, and for some they're satisfied, and for some it's like, is this all there is? You lose the passion for the game, I guess, and you can't put yourself in bad situations, self-destructive situations, that if you don't realize that you're getting caught up and do something about it, you can get caught up. And like Alden Smith and others like that, and I guess he felt like he had to remove himself completely from that environment in order to be able to gain some clarity and something substantial in his life. 24 years old. I mean, he had his whole life ahead of him. He had a huge signing bonus if that's what it takes for him to get his mind straight, it is what it is. All right, Black brought another guy up that I want to talk about. We're going to move from football to the hardwood, and we're going to talk about that Mr. some call pound for pound the best basketball player ever, Mr. Allen Iverson, finally, and I'm saying this lovingly, finally decides to retire after a few failed attempts to get back into the league. He finally decides to call it a career, and announced his retirement yesterday, flanked by his two kids. And from what I understand, I know he's in dire straits financially. Your thoughts on Allen Iverson, 6 foot, 160-pound scoring guard, who spent 10 seasons with the Sixers, and was named the 2001 league MVP. It's clear that the 38-year-old wanted to go out the same way he conducted himself in his 14-year career, where he had a plaid shirt, whatever. Let me put it this way. A lot of guys wear suits. He's not the type of guy to wear suits. So he wore everyday clothes, let me put it that way, for lack of a better word, to announce his retirement. Because regardless of what anybody says, and I say this in the best way I can, Allen Iverson came out of the hood, played like he was in the hood, acted like he was in the hood, and he retired like he was still from the hood. So with that being said, your comments on Allen Iverson finally announcing his retirement, Black and Jeff.
Well, first off, I need to give Allen a salute, man. That's one of the toughest guys, 6 feet or under, I've ever seen play the game of basketball. And this is starting from when he first arrived on Georgetown's campus in the summer, before he was a freshman there, and put up a... I believe, what was that, like a 60, I think it was a 60 or 50 point performance in the summer league.
Right.
And this is the day where Dikembe Mutombo, Lonzo Mourning, John Thompson, all the Georgetown alumni were in attendance. Because there was so much hype on Iverson coming out of Virginia. So me and my boy naturally went down there because we love basketball in the summer. So we wanted to go check it out. We got there, it was a standing room only after all the bleacher seats were gone. There was still about 3,000 or 4,000 people outside of McDonough Gym trying to get in. They couldn't get in. The place was packed. And this is a summer league game now. But he put on the show. I looked at my boy. I said, man, Georgetown's going to be tough. This little dude is the truth. And from then on, I followed him to Georgetown. That happens to be my favorite college team anyway. So I was happy to see him there, watch his career at Georgetown, watch him at Philly. This is a tough, tough guy to beat 6 feet. Took the Sixers to the finals. This is ridiculous by itself, really. That squad was terrible. and they made it to the finals. So I got to take a hats off and a salute. I'm hoping he gets whatever problems is in his life right now together, like Stephen A. was saying this morning. I'd like to see him throw in the suit. I'm sure, Allen, if you sit down one-on-one with him or in front of a TV screen, he can break down the game of basketball. He can tell you the plays that's going on, high screens, low screens, back cuts. He needs to be an analyst now, make some money until reaches that age of 55. Well, I think there's about 30 or 40 million in that Reebok trust that he'll be paying. So I'm just hoping he stays out of trouble, and good luck and happy trails to him.
Before Jeff, you comment, I'm watching a classic video of Iverson crossing over in front of Michael Jordan, where he left him stumbling and bumbling and scored over him, too. Okay, Jeff,
just,
talk to me about Iverson.
Just one of many victims. Just one of many victims.
Yeah.
Yep.
I mean, Iverson had more moves than X-Lax, and I respected him. I mean, I'm a casual basketball fan, but, you know, when the Sixers were hot, they'd show the Sixer games, and I was always impressed by his toughness. He was not afraid to go to the rim, and, you know, he was – and you know what? He wanted to win. He didn't just want to put up points, which, you know, of course he wanted to rock, you know. It's very common, you know. I mean, he wanted to rock, but he knew what to do with it, and he wanted to win. And I remember when the Sixers went on that run to the finals, he carried that team. I mean, and I remember that moron who I can't stand, Bill Walton, had the nerve to compare himself as a player to Iverson, and there's no comparison, because believe me, I was little, but I saw Walton play, and he was not the toughest cat in the gym, not even close. And an interesting thing about Iverson, I saw something once in NFL Films, his first love is football.
Yeah,
he was I mean, it was a great feature. He was a good quarterback down there in Virginia, not far from where Michael Vick and Aaron Brooks became stars.
He was there in the Tidewater area.
Right, the Tidewater area. And that's a hotbed for football. And he was, besides being great at hoops, he was a great high school quarterback. The problem was his size. They wouldn't give him a Division I scholarship. So because of that, that's why he chose to pursue basketball. And he was talking about football, and he's just so passionate about it. I mean, I'll tell you, I mean, if I'm sure he's very rusty at this point. I'm thinking to myself, wow, he could be a great Arena League quarterback maybe if he could, you know, shake off the rust or whatever. But I hope he gets his finances in order. He might have to, you know, tone down the lifestyle and sell off some things. Hopefully he has things with value, because there used to be this guy, Jack Clark, who played Major League Baseball. He played for the Yankees a while. That guy had 17 cars. I mean, that's insane. 17 cars. I mean, he eventually went bankrupt, but at least he had the cars were worth something, so he was able to kind of restructure and get back on his feet. So hopefully Iverson has some stuff that he could sell off and get right.
Yep. Okay. You know what? I just happened to see an article here, and I want to get your guys' comments on that. I'm going to be anxious to see what direction, and hopefully there's no negative headlines in the future. Future years about Allen Iverson. I know he's had some issues. Hopefully those issues don't crop up in a negative way, and he does some positive things going forward until, like Black says, that trust kicks in and he can rest easy because he'll be comfortable with his finances. Anyway, I want to drift right back to football one more time, probably for the final time, maybe, talk about going down to Florida, talking about You already got rid of or ran out for a few years, the starting quarterback that he didn't draft, and that didn't seem to solve the problem because now he has a rookie in there and he's still got the same old song, meaning 0-7. I'm talking about the 0-7 Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who played on Thursday night, I'm thinking it was last week, and Warren Sapp was not happy in the performance that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers put out on the field, to say the least, and he voiced it quite passionately on NFL Network. And supposedly, now you've heard different things about the Revis not happy with way things are, and supposedly talked to the coach, and he said we're all good. And then things leaked out that the medical information leaked out about the quarterback Josh Freeman. And supposedly the coach joked about, no, I didn't leak him out. But I think that's still being investigated by the NFL. Let me put it this way. Since he took over the Bucs, he was 6-4 in his first 10 games. And since then, his mark is 1-12. So he's 7-16 since he took over the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. My question to you guys, has he, or how long will it take, or has he lost his locker room? And these guys are basically, because they're 0-7, playing out the season. Talking about Greg Schiano and the lovely job this year he's doing with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and his so-called mini-me Bill Parcells style. Talk to me, Jeff, then Black.
You know, I used to say a lot of good things about Schiano, but that was based on his previous job resurrecting the program at Rutgers, which was no easy task.
Yes.
But this gentleman, and I use the term loosely, he might be a Lou Holtz. He might be strictly a college coach. And there's no shame in that. You know, no shame of being a great college coach. Hey, like a Nick Saban. And some guys aren't meant to coach men. And, you know, the thing is, Schiano, he turned around Rutgers, but it's not like he won a national championship or anything. And then see, he did have some, back in the 90s, a few years he was an assistant with the Bears. So I thought that would have helped him. But, you know, he comes in pretty much as a college coach. And the thing is with Parcells, you know, he had NFL experience before he became a head coach, and I think he also, when he first started, wasn't as abrasive as Schiano. And then after the Giants job, he could say, hey, I got 2 Super Bowl rings. What do you got, you know?
Mm-hmm.
The thing is, no pun intended, I think the Buccaneers have mutinied, but they're not stupid because these guys know that everything they do is on film. But he just, Schiano botched a lot of things, especially the Freeman situation. And, you know, it's crazy because he turned down some great college jobs. You know, he could have been head coach of Penn State. He could have been head coach of Miami. But for whatever reason, he decided to take the Buccaneer job, which caught people by surprise. But, yeah, I don't think this cat was cut out for the pros.
Black.
I'm thinking the Tampa Bay owner wants to go to Rutgers.
Say that again?
I think he would like to just go to Rutgers and grab all those Rutgers uniforms and bring them on over to Tampa Bay. Send Rutgers to Tampa Bay uniforms and just start over. Let's see if Shiano can coach with the Rutgers uniforms in Tampa Bay, because it looks like it's just over for him there. And I was pulling for him once he got that job, but this just turned into a fiasco. This is crazy.
Yeah, well, it is what it is. Well, they go. I think they're going to Seattle this week to play the Seattle Seahawks. And
that's not a good trip to take.
Well, there's another storyline in this, and I just realized it, and I think you guys may know where I'm going here. One quarterback is number 24. The other cornerback is number 25. Number 25 of the Seattle Seahawks has talked a lot of smack last year about him being the best cornerback, and that that Darrelle Revis is not better than him, and all whatever. And he said Thursday he had no regrets about his off-season Twitter tiff with Darrelle Revis. Well, Darrelle and Richard Sherman, even though they're not going to be on the same field at the same time, are going to be on the field, but on opposite sidelines for the first time ever. Now, quite naturally, before the game, there's pregame warm-ups, and after the game, there's the two teams, for the most part, get together and say congrats or whatever. What are your thoughts? Richard Sherman, Darrelle Revis, first time on the same field, and Richard Sherman as brash and bold and non-apologetic for anything he says. Jeff?
You know, it's a non-story. I mean, you know, this Twitter stuff is getting ridiculous. And at this point, Revis isn't the player he used to be. And I'll tell you, that the Seahawks, that's a tough squad, because not only do they beat you, more often than not, the teams lose the following week. Don't they have that streak going? So I wouldn't want to see them on the schedule.
Black.
I think Revis finds his island and finds a way to get away. I don't even think he wants to make this flight to get to this game to play, because he already knows it's going to be trouble. Luckily, Sidney Rice is out. There's rumblings Percy Harvin could be back, but, man, Revis needs to just find his island and try to hide for this one.
Well, speaking of Percy Harvin, highly anticipated guy coming off the PUP list, and it's highly anticipated that highly talked about that he would play this week. He's not going to be. He's ruled out this week. He is not playing this week. For those Percy Harvin owners on fantasy football teams, you're going to have to wait another week or two. He had a flare up in his hip, so apparently it was bad enough that Pete, what's his last name? Oh my
Carroll.
God. Pete Carroll, I'm sorry, thank you, Jeff, said that he's not going to be playing this week, so you're going to have to wait.
I feel bad for Percy Harvin, honestly. And I also feel bad for myself, because I waited weeks to get Gronkowski back, and now it looks like he might be down for some time.
Hey, I mean, you know, hey, it is what it is. I mean, you know, you pay a high price to get somebody, or you take a shot. And that's the pitfalls when you play fantasy football. You win some, you lose some, and some you get lucky with. So it's putting players in the right position and lucky to win if they perform the way you think they will. So with that being said, we got a minute left in the show. We didn't talk about today's game, Cincinnati Bengals, Miami Dolphins. But it is what it is. I'm not going to talk about it now. I want to get out of here because one thing I want to say before I leave here, I want to shout out to a friend of mine, that I visited just before I came on the show. He happens to be in the hospital. He's in a stable condition. Sam, get well. I'll see you over the weekend. With that being said, Black, your thoughts, and then Jeff, and then we'll get out of here.
Well, if that's your friend, hey, Sam, man, I hope you get better, man. Stay strong in there. You'll be fine. The Magic's coming to visit you tomorrow again, so y'all should have some good times there. Hopefully, you're not a Laker fan.
No, he's not.
A long season for the Lakers.
All right, Jeff.
Yeah, I'd like to wish the same thing. A friend of Jerry's is a friend of ours, and get well soon, and hope you don't got to stay in the hospital too long, and I hope there's a Chinese food place nearby, so hopefully somebody could hook you up.
I hear you. With that being said, I want to thank you guys for joining me tonight. I want to thank all of you listeners who listened. If you don't listen to the whole show, catch the archives. Tune in next week. We're going to be going through 4 years, 700 episodes, some clips that are going to be up on here that we're going to reminisce about. And enjoy the game. Enjoy the weekend. Weekend games, Sunday and Sunday night and Monday. And tune in next week, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We'll be back here. Like I said, see ya. Come on, don't do this. Here we go. Yeah, okay. Yeah, okay. God.
We are out of here.
Yes, we are. See ya.